This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 22nd of August 2025. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 22nd of August. Your readers today are Nikki Baring.
Hello.
Norma York.
Hello.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. And the main headlines this week: tributes to a larger-than-life biker, new video shows state of River Park, and it's Back to the Future for the director of music. So, Nikki, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Which was the tributes to larger-than-life biker. Popular rocker killed in motorbike crash. Tributes have been paid to a man described as larger-than-life who died in a road collision. Simon Andrews, 64, from Bishop's Waltham, was killed in a crash on the B2177 Winchester Road on Thursday, August the 14th. The collision, which happened at 2:12 p.m, involved Mr. Andrews' red Ducati motorcycle and a blue Land Rover Discovery. Mr. Andrews was a member of a well-known band, Something Else. His family said, "It's with very broken hearts that we are sharing this devastating news that our beloved Simon has died. The irony that he died doing one of the things he loved. Our family has been totally shaken, and we know as a musical community that you will also be shaken to the core. So many of you have already shown such love for him and our family. He was full of life, the mad fool on top of anything he could climb to sing to you all. The entertainer, the biker, the snowflake hater, but he was also our dad, our granddad, a devoted husband and brother. Simon was at the heart a countryman. His love of walks, his dogs, buildings, he was an engineer, as he often said. His travels to America, one of the most amazing trips he recently enjoyed with Jackie, memories to hold close. If he was your mate, you definitely knew it. He would bend over backwards to help, but if you got on the wrong side, you'd know about that too. We're struggling at the moment. It's such a huge void in our lives, and we know he rocked your world, and we also want to express how you all made his life so much richer. To our wonderful Simon, larger than life, always and forever in our hearts, he truly is something else. Hampshire Police are appealing for information and are asking anyone with dash cam footage or details about the collision to contact them. Anyone who has not yet spoken to officers is asked to call 101 and quote reference 442 503 66840. Many fans and venues have posted on Facebook, with the Southampton and District Motorcycle Club having a minute of applause on Friday, August the 15th. Another artist, the Mafia Rock Band, said on Facebook, "We are gutted to hear about the sudden passing of a musical brother and someone who is one of the legends of the local music scene." Simon Andrews and the Something Else Boys have been one of the hardest working bands on the South Coast and have been successfully flying the flag for rock and roll music for many years.
New video shows state of River Park. A new video by unauthorised urban explorers shows the declining state of River Park Leisure Centre 5 years after it was closed. The video, filmed by urban explorers' YouTube channel Urbaned, showed rubbish thrown into the leisure centre's pool, as well as smashed windows and graffiti. A spokesman for the channel said that they were surprised to see the state of the leisure centre when they trespassed to film the video in summer of 2024. Many items of sport and office equipment have remained in the building. The spokesperson said, "We have been covering a variety of derelict leisure centres across the UK, particularly since the COVID pandemic. We were surprised to see the state of River Park in Winchester. because it was very vandalised for only a brief period of closure. It made sense to us why the exterior was abundant with metal sheeting the moment we entered. In addition, the decay was shocking in parts, giving the impression that it had been deteriorating long before the closure, and it was likely to be the reason it had been left behind for the new facility. A spokesperson for Winchester City Council said, "We have various security measures in place at the former leisure centre site, including fixed metal grills, 24-hour CCTV and significant warning signage. City Council officers also carry out security checks at the site on regular basis. We understand that the video circulating on social media was filmed in 2024. However, we take breaking and entering very seriously, particularly as anyone unlawfully accessing this site puts them at serious risk of harm." And there are various pictures of this, but also another bit of the article says, the decay was very shocking. The pictures filmed by an unauthorised visit by Urban Explorers shows the dereliction of the city's former main sports centre, writes Chris Atkinson. River Park Leisure Centre closed in 2021 to be replaced by the new $40 million building at Bar End. But many people will be surprised at the amount of equipment that has been left there. Everyone active, which operates the site, has been contacted for comment regarding the abandoned items. As previously reported, River Park Leisure Centre has been closed since 2021 with future uncertain following the collapse in March of a deal with Southampton University to develop the site and extend its Park Avenue campus. There have been calls for the building to be replaced by a lido and paddling pool. Others have said the structure should be demolished immediately. Originally, the demolition was going to be done as part of the scheme with Southampton University. And the pictures show absolute devastation, really.
It's back, it's back to the future for the Director of Music. New College, Oxford, has announced Dr. Andrew Lumsden as Director of Music for the Michaelmas term. The former Director of Music at Winchester Cathedral will fill the role while Professor Robert Quinney takes a sabbatical. This appointment brings Dr. Lumsden's career full circle, as his musical journey began at New College at the age of 8, when he joined the choir as a chorister under his father, Sir David Lumsden. It was within the college walls that he first learned to play the organ, sparking a lifelong dedication to church music. Dr. Lumsden's education includes time at Winchester College, followed by reading music at St. John's College, Cambridge, where he was an organ scholar. His career saw him appointed sub-organist at Westminster Abbey in 1988, before becoming organist and master of the choristers at Lichfield Cathedral in 1992. In 2002, he became director of music at Winchester Cathedral, a position he held for more than 20 years, until 2024, when he chose to focus on a freelance career. His departure sparked widespread concern about conduct in the cathedral music department. In 2023, he was awarded an honorary doctorate from the University of Winchester. And since leaving Winchester Cathedral, Dr. Lumsden has been in high demand as a freelance conductor and organist. He has worked with cathedral choirs in South Carolina, led a choir master's conference at St. Thomas's Church in New York, and collaborated with the Truro Cathedral Choir. He continues to conduct the Winfleet Singers in Winchester and presents a weekly classical music radio show on Voice FM, Southampton. His return to New College is significant, not only as it marks a return to the place where his musical career began, but also because it's where the ashes of his parents, Sir David and Lady Lumsden, are interred. Professor Robert Quinney said, "We are delighted to welcome Dr. Lumsden back to New College. Andrew's deep roots in this place, coupled with his extraordinary musical pedigree, make him ideally placed to lead the choir in the term ahead. Dr. Lumsden's return is anticipated to be a significant chapter in the college's musical life. One of the UK's most experienced cathedral musician, he brings a unique perspective and artistry to the choir he first joined as a boy." And this is accompanied by a couple of photographs. There's a photograph of Dr. Andrew Lumsden himself, looking very cheery. And then there's a photograph of him conducting the choir at Winchester Cathedral.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, and then Christian comment, letters, Chronicle comment, first person, and Belgarum. So we start with the death announcements this week. Alan, Andrew Francis Allen, died peacefully at home on the 1st of August, aged 87. Barham, Christopher Paul Barham, died peacefully at home on the 11th of August, aged 76. Barter, Patricia Roberta Barter, died peacefully on the 15th of July, aged 83. Bellinger, Grace Elizabeth Bellinger, died at West Holm Nursing Home on the 30th of July, aged 88. Forsdyke, Iris Ellen Forsdyke, died peacefully at home on the 30th of July, aged 96. Gorman, Frances Patricia Gorman, died at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 31st of July, aged 63. Hatch, Josephine Ann Hatch, died on the 4th of August, aged 92. Hewitson, Joan Ann Hewitson, died at Winchester Hospice on the 8th of August, aged 84. Johnston, Martin Paul Johnston, a former pupil at Sparsholt College from 1994, who died suddenly in Edinburgh, aged 61. Locke, Iris Constance Locke, died peacefully at home on the 9th of August, aged 96. Mills, Kathleen Mary Mills, died peacefully in hospital on the 15th of August. Morris, Jill Cecilia Morris, died at home in Hillhead on the 24th of July, aged 90. Palmer, John Francis Palmer, formerly of Alsford, died at home in Kent on the 8th of August, aged 84. Rose, Jan Rose, died peacefully at home in Alsford on the 10th of August, aged 78. Scantlebury, Leslie Gerald Scantlebury, died peacefully on the 14th of August, aged 91. Stent, Mark Lyndon Hepburn Stent, died peacefully at home on the 7th of August, aged 96. Stickland, Paul Stickland, died peacefully at home on the 10th of August, aged 67. And Thompson, Dennis William Thompson, died at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 5th of August after a short illness, aged 98. And now, Andrew, you've got a Christian comment, please.
And this week's headline from the Christian comment is, "Church attendances look to be growing." For years, the prevailing narrative has been that the church is in decline. It's become a familiar stereotype. Empty pews, aging congregations, outdated traditions, internal disagreements, news headlines for all the wrong reasons. In many ways, that picture hasn't changed. Rose-tinted nostalgia can often cloud our memory.
The church, with all its history and divisions, has never been perfect. There has never been a golden age. Yet, without fanfare or fuss, something remarkable is happening. A quiet revival. And it's coming from an unexpected source. A new wave of churchgoers is emerging. Young, curious, and increasingly male. In April, the Bible Society released a report titled Quiet Revival, revealing a 50% increase in church attendance over the past 6 years. In 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they attended church. Today, that number has risen to 16%, a fourfold increase. Attendance is not only growing, but it's also becoming more diverse than ever before. Meanwhile, SPCK, a Christian publisher, has reported a 61% rise in Bible sales over the same period. Sales of Christian books overall are up by 87%. Something is stirring in Generation Z. While baby boomers often attended church out of tradition, Gen X tried new types of spirituality, and millennials leaned towards self-reliance. Gen Z is rebelling against that narrative. They're searching for something bigger than themselves, seeking a greater sense of meaning and answers to life's biggest question, what is my purpose? So, what about you? There are many vibrant churches in Romsey, and a fantastic local resource in the Oasis Christian Bookshop. Why not join in and become part of this quiet revival? And that was written by Sim Dendy, who's the senior leader at the Freedom Church.
Thank you, Andrew. And now we continue with letters to the editor. Nikki, let's start us off.
This from Maureen Treadwell, headed Renters' Bill Needs Reform. I read with interest the article about Alabari calling for urgency in the implementation of the Rental Reform Bill. The Renters' Rights Bill is well-intentioned, aiming to give tenants more security and fairness, but its current design risks harming these very people it asks to help. The rise in Section 21 notices, known as no-fault evictions, is not driven by greed. Landlords are reacting to genuine fears that under the new rules, recovering a property from non-paying tenants could take months, even years, in court, leaving them with unmanageable debts. 2 months' notice to evict a family is clearly too short and unfair to tenants, yet abolishing no-fault evictions without fixing these systemic delays forces landlords into impossible choices. Rent caps, meanwhile, have historically failed, reducing supply, discouraging investment, and ultimately making homes less affordable. We urgently need policies that strike a genuine balance, protecting tenants while giving landlords the certainty to manage risk without fear of financial collapse. Without this, the private rental sector will shrink, families will face dwindling choices, and more will be forced into temporary accommodation as small landlords exit the market, leaving local councils struggling to house the growing number of homeless households. And that from Maureen Treadwell in Chilbolton.
Immortal cyclists. In church we sing a hymn, Immortal Invisible. I sometimes think that this applies to many cyclists on our roads today. Whereas cars now have daytime running lights, many cyclists still behave as in the 1950s. With traffic getting busier every year, should we all not want to increase our visibility to avoid accidents? I bought a simple reflective jacket for £3, and that was from Tony Gaister, Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester.
And this letter was written in by Eileen Berry, and she says, invest in the future of Abbey House. When I was mayor, I used Abbey House to the hilt. Meetings, gatherings, suppers, lunches, Abbey House served me well. Now we know that the above floor can only take 40 people. But let's be honest, successive councils did not make it safe to have more. It needed reinforcements in the upper floor. It could then be used for more than 40. Now they say that that money cannot be spent. Speculate to accumulate, i.e. reinforce the upper floor. Then Abbey House could be used for many, many organisations. It most certainly has the capacity and the atmosphere to earn its keep. I know because I made it so. I think that Abbey House could pay for itself. You just have to make it safe. I did notice some of the furniture, some of the ornaments, the big vases, they weren't cleaned up. There was an air, as like in the Guild Hall, of deterioration. Don't get rid of or neglect buildings that have stood for hundreds of years. They will turn out to be our only assets for the future. We know the Mayoralty, as we have known it, will change in the future. Even so, Abbey House has got to be a part of the history of whatever happens. And that's written by Eileen Berry, Priorsdean Road, Hairstock, Winchester.
And from Rod Youngman, headed History on Repeat. With the present controversy over bin collections in Southampton, the situation is echoed in the current edition of the Mid-Hampshire Observer archive page of 140 years ago from the Hampshire Independent of July the 25th, 1885. Quotes, "A meeting of the Southampton Town Council was held on Wednesday at the Audit House. Attention was called to the negligence in emptying dustbins in certain courts and also to the quantity of paper blowing about the parks, and suggested the mayor should give instructions on the matter. If the present staff of workmen was insufficient, why not employ some of the able-bodied men in the workhouse?" End of quotes. And that from Rod Youngman, Cromwell Road, Stanmore, Winchester.
Need to consult on bus changes. We just read the article about the supposed improvements to the 69 bus route via Bar End, Chronicle Online. This may be quicker for people going to the bottom of the town, but at the moment plenty of people also get off at in St Cross, at St Thomas's and at the Ark and in Jury Street. At the same time as this, the 61 bus is being discontinued, which came into town via Romsey Road, including the hospital and the railway station. People wanting to go to the railway station might have been prepared to walk from the Ark, but from the Broadway it's further and uphill. So fare-paying passengers would be faced with two bus fares for such a trip, rather than currently just one. And more time. Perhaps the bus company could arrange to collect only one fare for this, as happens in London. There would also be longer walks for other places, including the upper half of the High Street, the theatre, the cathedral. There was some consultation about the 61 recently, but not the 69. Perhaps there could be some consultation now, perhaps including an option to run alternative services on the old route. Otherwise, it seems possible that more people will come in by car. And that's from Andrew Lincoln of Twyford.
Wealthy church. There is a well-endowed Church of England charity in the heart of Winchester. Over the past 10 years, and based on its financial statements, the parish of St. Lawrence, with St. Swithin upon Kingsgate, has accumulated more than £600,000. It continues to do so. This part of its wealth can be used at the full discretion of the trustees, but they have consistently refused to distribute a responsible proportion of this to some of the more local, worthy causes seeking urgent financial assistance. Relative to annual expenditure, £600,000 is at least twice the level recommended by the Church of England. It is a consequence of the Treasurer's view that it, quote, "it is our money and we're not giving it to anyone," unquote. Hundreds, if not thousands, of potential recipients are being deprived of support. This issue has been raised with the Charities Commission, who comment, quote, "it is a matter between the charity and the Church of England," end quote. The Diocese of Winchester is involved. However, the trustees ignore its advice to be much more generous with their charitable giving. When are they going to start practicing what they preach and fulfill their Christian duty? And that's from John Kind, Culver Road, Winchester.
And this from Dr. Hugh Saxton, headed Development Sites Need Sense. The government has put intense pressure on councils to build new houses. No guidance has been offered as to the location, such as siting new homes near to places of work or nearer to transport centres. Equally, when Test Valley circulated their proposed sites for 15,878 new homes, their choices show no evidence of any underlying philosophy. But undoubtedly, their most bizarre proposal is for 100 new homes at the west end of Longstock Stockbridge. These are to be built around Danebury School using its playing fields. Leaving aside the prolonged disturbance to the pupils trying to study inside a building site, what can be said about 100 new homes at the west end of Stockbridge? There are few jobs in Stockbridge itself, so each rush hour morning, some 80 or 90 cars would be joining the busy A30 on their way to an office or station, mostly going eastward. They will also meet incoming school transport. It takes little to imagine the twice daily traffic jam, probably one of the costliest permanent traffic jams anywhere except Stonehenge. And that from Dr. Hugh Saxton, Houghton Road, Stockbridge.
BCC for Mayor. Donna Jones wants to be the next Mayor of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. But who didn't see that coming? From the start of her tenure as Police and Crime Commissioner, she's treated the role like a political springboard for her big ambitions. She seems to prefer fighting culture wars to fighting crimes. Whether she's tweeting about Glastonbury Festival, weighing in on the race riots or chasing headlines, it seems she only took the job of PCC to elevate her political status. But while she grandstands, criminals run amok. Hate crimes in Hampshire up 64%, fly tipping in Basingstoke up 20%, night crime in Winchester up 3.6%, shoplifting in the county up 17%, all the while CCTV cameras are shut off in Eastleigh and the Hampshire's police force limps on with the lowest proportion of officers in the entire country. And with vacancy at the top of the Conservative Party looming, Donna Jones' eyes may wander again during her mayoral term. There's nothing wrong with ambition, of course, but Hampshire deserves a mayor that is little more focused on the county and a little less on their career. And that's from Michael Mander, Hanson Gardens, Hedge End, Eastleigh.
Medical training should be free. This is a difficult time for students to decide on what course they want to enhance their career choices. Years ago, many of us senior citizens did not have to pay for their courses. We were very lucky. Some courses are more important, such as those training in medicine. Why can't students entering medicine, including doctors and nurses, have free training, but have to sign a document to say they will give their first 10 years to the NHS before perhaps leaving for other jobs further afield? It would help the deficit affecting the NHS. And that's from Alan Lees, Farm Road, Andover.
Thank you. That concludes the letters. Now we move on to the editorial comment, please, Nikki.
Which is headed, City Council must grasp the nettle. Whilst not condoning trespass, the urban explorers who got into the derelict River Park Leisure Centre in Winchester have done the city a public service. Many people would be surprised, if not shocked, about the state of the building that their YouTube video exposed. Not so much the vandalism that is to be expected in an empty structure that is not fully secure. It is the abandoning of a lot of equipment, such as swimming pool accessories, furniture, and what look like table tennis tables. They will probably be worthless now, but when the building closed in 2021, they could have been sold or disposed of properly. We have asked, and this is with a capital E and a capital A, We have asked everyone active why so much stuff has been dumped and are awaiting a response. As a side issue, the fish murals in the Explorers video are quite poignant. Gathering dust, they would have seen thousands of children having fun and learning how to swim, a crucial life skill. The real service done by the Explorers, who call themselves abandoned, is highlighting the future of the building in a very graphic way. The City Council really must grasp a nettle on this and not allow the structure to carry on deteriorating. Demolition must come up on the agenda. That will be expensive, but the countercost is an eyesore that does the city no favours. The council has a track record with demolitions. Friarsgate Medical Centre has been knocked down and a pop-up park created in the space. River Park Leisure Centre is a much larger and more complicated structure, but the principle is the same. It can be done. Advocates of Aledo will say the centre should be demolished, but the swimming pool retained. There may be technical issues setting aside cost, but the Chronicle very much likes that idea.
Thank you. Now we have first person, please, Norma.
And George Hayter writes, "The Good Old British Way." My car has become more than a means of transport for me. It's become a source of entertainment and a way to help keep me strong and healthy. Let me explain how to you, so you too can add additional pleasure from your vehicle without driving an inch and while spending a bit less money than you spend now. You might need average physical fitness and some patience to try what I'm about to suggest. My idea is that you stop taking your car to a car wash and instead start washing it yourself. I haven't got the time to do that, I hear you howl. I've got better things to do. Maybe. But what better thing is there than a home routine giving you several sorts of pleasure all at once and providing physical exercise? How is cleaning a car going to give me several sorts of pleasure? I don't believe this. Well, hear me out. I'll explain it all you have to do. You'll soon be feeling sorry for the people who go to the trouble and expense of driving to a car wash. Washing a car by hand is the convenient and virtually cost-free way to cool down in summer. Who would not enjoy splashing around with cooling water on a baking day? Putting a shine on a car enables you to get unusually varied, vigorous exercise at home at the same time as keeping cool and getting a job done well. All that energetic wiping and lifting and stretching and fetching builds muscle. It's perfect. Car washing could have been invented by a fitness trainer. Another joy, slopping on the suds encourages you to respect and treasure the mobile structure that is your vehicle. You grow to appreciate every sensuous curve of its door panels, the very zany eccentricity of its rear light clusters. Satisfaction amounts as through jobs near completion. Every owner knows the post-wash feeling when they see their car up, their wash-rejuvenated car can still mimic magical new-look car. Changing a car seems a troublesome task when you embark on it, but once you start sloshing water, it's a joy. That joy comes easy if you have the best equipment, which I consider to be a bucket, watering can, bottle of washing up liquid, a few rags of various sizes, and an old toothbrush. And unless you are tall, some sort of box or step to ease access to the roof. Thoroughly lather the roof first, then rinse the roof. Then lather and rinse the back of the car down to the number plate. Same lather and rinse routine at the bottom of the back. Repeat the top of front, bottom, front, top of each side and bottom of each side. Bliss in the detail. To remove dirt trapped around the wing mirrors, behind door handles, in the manufacturer's logo, etc., put rags aside and use a toothbrush for the similar, and then rinse. Do the wheels when and if you have time. Modern wheels are intricate. They take as much time as the rest of the car. The sooner hubcaps are back in fashion, the better. For generations, hand-washing the car outside their home has been part of Britain's weekend street scene. Polishing the family car has been the centre of Saturday morning recreation for households from Wick to Winchester. Weekly attention lavished on bodywork, glass and chrome has kept families together in team toil, maintaining their four-wheel investment. The weekly scrub has also helped unite communities. The curbside ritual provides a rare opportunity these days for neighbours to chat. Nevertheless, hand washing your car is becoming rare. Commercial car washes lack parking spaces, and human lethargy threatens this jewel in our way of life. As well as boasting mental and physical health, hand washing is many times cheaper than driving to a and paying for a car wash. So I'm going to carry on car washing the good old British way.
I didn't ask the team what their thoughts are on that one, but I suspect it might be slightly different to everybody.
Just a little.
Now we have Belgaram. Thanks, Andrew.
I was going to say that in terms of editorial balance, we should point out there is a hosepipe ban in place.
At the yes. Home, so
please, you can get extra work by carrying the water to your watering can.
Well, yes, so. And he does use a watering can.
That's true. However, Belgaram. The Silk Mill Invitation Event. Whitchurch Silk Mill, Hampshire's last working textile museum, is offering a rare opportunity to step behind the scenes and witness the magic of silk weaving in action. The Whitchurch Silk Production Tour takes place on Thursday, September the 26th, inviting visitors to explore the mill's historic machinery, meet the skilled team behind its exquisite silk, and gain insight into the production process that has been at the heart of the mill for over two centuries. This special event is designed for anyone curious about traditional silk weaving, heritage machinery, and the craftsmanship that continues to thrive at the mill. As the only working silk mill in the UK open to the public, the mill plays a vital part in preserving endangered textile skills while producing contemporary silk for luxury markets. The tour offers a unique chance to see how heritage and innovation come together in a living museum setting. Visitors will also have the chance to see Loom 10, one of the mill's historic looms, now fully restored and returned to working order following an 18-month conservation project led by industrial conservator Nigel Spender of G&H Spender. This meticulous restoration has brought the loom back to life, allowing it to weave once more and continue its legacy as part of the mill's active production line. And that's accompanied by a photograph taken in the silk mill showing the one of the looms working there. And the second part of Belgaram this week is repairs shut the back gate at City Park. Belgaram was reminded of a post-punk classic by Liverpudlian rockers Echo and the Bunnymen called Over the Wall. It was not quite over the wall, but certainly over the gate the other day at Abbey Gardens. The back gate on Colebrook Street is currently closed, whilst the adjoining brick and flint walls are repaired by the City Council. There was no warning sign, so Belgaram preferred to hop over the barrier rather than trace steps back for several hundred yards. And the City Council said that the works were completed early this week and the barriers would be removed. The cost of the repairs was £7,533 plus VAT. And that's accompanied by the repaired gate opening, complete with the barriers that Belgarum apparently hopped over.
Okay, thank you. We now move on to what's on, and there's a few items. Theatre Royal, 4th to the 6th of September, there's a new Sherlock Holmes play, The Hunt for Moriarty, which is a new stage play set in London in 1901, adapted from the Conan Doyle originals. It's suitable for ages 11+. If you want more information on that, I haven't got the times, unfortunately, but it's the 4th to the 6th of September, and you can get information from the Theatre Royal box office, 01962 840 440. And on the 12th of September at the Theatre Royal, there is an ABBA tribute band called Mania, which is apparently the number one tribute band to ABBA. Tickets are £32 for the 12th of September performance at 7:30pm. Again, the box office is 01962 840 440. The following day, Saturday the 13th of September, at Kingsworthy at Eversley Park, there's the Worthies Festival, which is a one-day event from 12 o'clock till 11pm. It's a free, family-friendly event with music, barbecue, face painting, soccer shootout, fun dog show and craft stalls. Free to enter. It's Kingsworthy, Eversley Park, 13th of September from midday onwards. At Paulton's Park, there's an evening garden opening on Thursday the 11th of September. It's an opportunity to visit the gardens designed in the 18th century by Capability Brown, with all proceeds from the ticket sales going to local charities. It's something they do every year, which I wasn't aware of. But it's paultonspark.co.uk/tickets/garden. And that's historic gardens which have been surrounded by the amusement park. And finally, on Saturday the 4th of October, at the University Auditorium in Romsey Road, an event in aid of the Winchester Hospice, is the Wittering Whitehalls. And it's Michael and Hilary Whitehall will perform a live podcast of the Wittering Whitehall's Barely Alive show. Michael Whitehall, of course, is the father of Jack Whitehall, the comedian, and does some shows with him. And it's in aid of the Winchester Hospice, and more information and tickets are available on the Winchester Hospice website. Now, lighting up time ends Friday the 22nd of August at 6:02am and begins at 8:13pm. And next Wednesday the 27th of August, it ends at 6:10am and begins at 8:03pm. And if you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our free recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229, and this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And now we continue with items of general news. Nikki.
And this one headed, man found with six dead pheasants. A catapult and six dead pheasants were found in a car after a man was arrested in Bishop's Waltham. Police officers from the Country Watch Rural Crime Task Force were driving along Lower Lane at approximately 8:35pm on Sunday, August 17th, when they noticed a car speeding in the other direction. The police turned to follow, but shortly afterwards, the car in front came to a stop and three people ran from the vehicle. However, officers managed to catch the driver. Inside the vehicle, they found a catapult, a bag of metal ball bearings, a quantity of cannabis, and six dead pheasants in the passenger footwell. A discarded knife was also found nearby. The man, a 19-year-old from Southampton, has been arrested on suspicion of possessing an offensive weapon in a public place, possessing a knife in a public place, using a weapon to kill, stroke, take a wild bird, possession of a controlled Class B drug, and driving a motor vehicle otherwise in accordance with a licence. The man has been released under investigation.
Share secrets, wartime tales from the RAF Flowerdown. A secret chapter of wartime history is being brought into the spotlight. RAF Flower Down near Winchester played a vital role during the Second World War as a listening station, intercepting enemy communications. The station passed on messages to codebreakers at Bletchley Park to help crack the Enigma code. Now the Defence Infrastructure Organisation, DIO, is inviting residents, veterans and families to share personal stories, letters, photographs and memorabilia from RAF Flower Down that became Sir John Moore Barracks, particularly before 1980. Robert Smith, head of major disposals at DIO, said, "For over a century, thousands of men and women have served their country at Flower Down. We want to hear their stories because we believe the best way to honour a site's legacy is to involve the people who know it best. The site has a varied and often secretive history." He described how during Second World War, the base's aerials intercepted top-secret enemy radio signals. Those messages played a direct role in the Allied code-breaking effort. Mr. Smith said, "By sharing your personal memories of Flower Down, local people can help us to shape a development that truly reflects the heritage of this extraordinary place. We want to create a community that celebrates that rich history, from its secret wartime service to the everyday lives of those who were stationed there. The stories gathered could be used to help develop a proposed heritage trail and to inspire street names in the planned redevelopment of the site. The barracks is scheduled to close in 2026. Plans for the site include up to 900 energy-efficient homes, with 60% of the land retained as green open space. The DIO plans to include heritage features in the design, such as repurposed historic buildings and a heritage trail. The organisation is especially keen to hear from women who served at RAF Flower Down or their relatives to ensure their contributions are recorded. To share your story, email at info@sirjohnmoorewinchester.co.uk or call on 0808 143 4781. I'll repeat those. Email is info@sirjohnmoorewinchester.co.uk or call 0808 143 4781. The DIO hopes that these personal accounts will help shape a new community that honours the site's military legacy.
Thus changes loom after services axed. Changes to Winchester buses are soon to be implemented following cuts to other routes. Stagecoach has announced that from Sunday, August the 31st, there will be changes to services. Alterations to departure stands will also be introduced at the Broadway and the bus station. Significant changes are proposed on the 69 service from Fareham to Winchester as part of Hampshire County Council improvement plans. According to the Stagecoach website, these include a more direct route between the city centre and Twyford, making use of the M3 and the Bar End Road. Buses will start and finish at the Broadway, not the bus station, and St Cross Road will no longer be served. Between Wickham and Fareham bus station, the route will change, and buses will run via North Hill, Park Lane and Trinity Street. Wickham Road, High Street and the railway station will no longer be served. Earlier buses have been added to weekdays, and the Sunday service will see buses running hourly along the entire length of the route from Winchester to Fareham. Some journeys will start from or continue beyond the Broadway to Peter Simmons College to suit students. Marwell Zoo will continue to be served on Sundays and public holidays, with journeys starting from or continue to Winchester Rail Station, passing through the Broadway en route. Many other stagecoach buses going through Winchester will have a revised timetable, which is available to view online. The number 4 will no longer serve Tegdown, which is sparking protests. And a stagecoach spokesperson said, "Working in partnership with Hampshire County Council, the routes are funded through the government's Bus Service Improvement Plan, which aims to enhance local bus services and connectivity. From September, there will be improvements to other services in the Winchester area. Service 64, Alton to Winchester, will see more buses at peak times. Service 69, Fareham to Winchester, will run faster with more direct routes into Fareham and to Winchester Broadway. These changes will help commuters and leisure travellers enjoy quicker, more convenient journeys. Services 46 and 61 have been withdrawn following the end of a contract with the County Council and will not be replaced. And although the 69 service is an alternative to passengers that use the 61, many commuters are concerned about the accessibility of the revised improvements." And that's accompanied by a photograph of the bus on Route 69 heading from the Broadway out to Fareham.
Boomtown Festival noise complaints drop again. Winchester City Council has reported a steep decrease in noise complaints for Hampshire's biggest music festival. Boomtown, which ran at Matley Estate from Thursday, August the 7th, welcomed more than 75,000 attendees. Due to the large numbers of complaints over previous years from residents, the City Council's environmental health team offered a community hotline. The results of this year's hotline show a decline in disgruntled residents, with only 8 complaints. In the last 3 years, hotline complaints have varied with 10 calls in 22, 29 in 2023, 14 in 2024, and 8 in 25. A Winchester City Council spokesperson said, "We work in partnership with a number of other agencies, including Boomtown's organisers, as part of the safety advisory group for the event. This includes a review of noise management plans and procedures before it takes place, and carrying out independent auditing and monitoring whilst it's ongoing. Sound propagation is highly wind and weather dependent, and Boomtown also employed some additional technical controls to mitigate noise emissions off-site this year. After continued action from residents over the years, the festival has been working towards a more peaceful environment for those living in Winchester and surrounding areas." Chronicle asked Boomtown for comment. But more than that story, the photograph that accompanies it is quite amazing. When you see the size, it is a city that they've built. The lights, they get the building, the entertainments go right up into the woods behind, and a vast parking area beyond the 272 where it comes down towards Winchester. It really is the most phenomenal event.
Charity shop break-in. A charity shop in Winchester was forced to shut for a day following a nighttime break-in. The Naomi House and Jack Space store in George Street was broken into overnight on Monday, August the 11th, leaving behind property damage and stolen goods. The shop was forced to close for a full day while the police investigated the scene. However, opened again on Wednesday, August the 13th. Rob Gordon, head of retail at Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "It's heartbreaking that a charity shop can be targeted in this way. Local people's donations of stock, and the sale of which were meant to help the families who visit our hospices, have been stolen. However, we are reminded of the generous community of Winchester and thank them for their ongoing support and trade. Although we had to close for a day, we're back open for business, and our staff and volunteers are looking forward to seeing you and feeling safe in the shop again. If you'd like to help us make up the loss of being closed for a day, please visit our website to make a donation. The shop now faces repair costs as well as the loss of the income from stolen items, and the repairs will be handled by the hospice's own maintenance staff and volunteers. Naomi House and Jack's Place provide care for children and young adults with life-limiting conditions.
And here's another article on Boomtown Festival, which is entitled "The Crime Rates Rise at Boomtown Festival." Boomtown 2025 saw crime rates rise again from last year, with a high number of drug arrests. Boomtown Chapter 4, Power of Now, finished on Sunday, August the 10th, after 5 days. The festival had sold out, with more than 75,000 people enjoying acts such as the Sex Pistols, Sean Paul, and Rudimental. Throughout the duration of the festival, 40 arrests were made, an increase on last year's 37, and a bigger increase on 2023, which saw 25. Two arrests were made for rape at this year's festival, marking the first time someone has been arrested for that in a few years. Before the festival this year, a coroner voiced his concerns over the availability of drugs at the festival, after a man died after acquiring and consuming MDMA last year. Police said that they were working with organisers to disrupt anyone suspected to be involved in supplying drugs at Boomtown, meaning that they would do extra checks on the gates. However, the crime figures show that the highest number of arrests this year was 29, which was for being in possession of illegal drugs with the intent to supply. 5 people have been charged with drug offences. And Assistant Chief Constable Tony Rawlinson said, "Public safety is our absolute priority when policing large events such as Boomtown. This has resulted in a number of incidents being reported to police, with an increase in reports compared to the previous year, and police action has been taken. These include 2 separate reports of rape. We are taking these reports extremely seriously, and we're able to take quick action and make arrests. Our specialist officers will continue to support the 2 women who reported these incidents while we carry out full investigations." And last year's figures had again and risen again after falling to the lowest in years in 2023. Before 2023, there were 98 offences conducted or committed in 2022, and 121 in 2019, and 127 in 2017, and 176 in 2016. So Boomtown has been contacted for comment.
Watercress is named among the UK's best. A heritage railway line, which has been described as a magnificent example of restoration, has been named among the UK's best. The Watercress line, which runs between Alresford and Alton, was included alongside 15 others in a list from The Times. Discussing the article, the publication wrote, "It's no wonder that heritage railways are so popular in the UK. We have more than 200 lines covering nearly 600 miles of track, and there is a line within easy reach of almost everywhere. Most are labours of love, carefully restored by private heritage railways after being axed from the national network in the 1960s. Snaking through show-stopping countryside, they bring passengers to tiny tea rooms, historic stations and remote hiking paths, benefiting countless local communities along the way. The full list of the UK's best heritage railway lines can be found on the Times website. The Watercress line was praised by the Times for its restoration work and options for travel. The Watercress line operates a number of different steam and diesel locomotives with a few coaches for people to sit in and enjoy the views. Trains run from Tuesday to Sunday during school holidays and Thursday to Sunday in term time, according to its website.
Under Fire Service is in dire need of investment. Hampshire's Fire Service is facing critical shortages and underperformance in key areas, according to a new report. An inspection by His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services has found that Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service, HIWFRS, requires improvement in responding to fires and other emergencies. The report highlighted the lack of available fire engines and inadequate response times, raising concerns about public safety and the operational effectiveness. James Kelly, Fire Brigades Union, FBU, Brigade Secretary for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, said, "The Inspectorate's report makes it clear that Hampshire and Isle of Wight is in desperate need of investment, at a time when the Chief Fire Officer is threatening further devastating cuts. The damning conclusion that the service requires improvement at responding to fires and emergencies is the result of over 14 years of cuts to firefighter posts. The public deserve a service that can send firefighters out quickly to incidents." The FBU warned that current plans to cut an additional 1.6 million from the budget will only deepen the crisis outlined in the report. The union also criticised a lack of confidence in senior management, especially in handling reports of bullying, harassment and discrimination. Neil Odin, Chief Fire Officer at HIWFRS, said, "I am proud of the hard work our firefighters and support staff do every day to keep people of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight safe. The inspectors have carefully looked at our service and checked every part of what we do. They found areas where we were doing well and recognised improvements we've made and identified some things we still need to work on." Mr. Odin welcomed the report's praise for the service focus on community risk, fire prevention and well-being support for staff. He said, "We are already making progress in the areas for improvement." Mr. Odin noted that in the 12 months to June, the average response time to primary fires was 10 minutes and 1 second.
Winchester architecture firm to open doors for heritage event. An architecture firm is once again taking part in Winchester Heritage Open Days. Adam Architecture will open its doors to the public, continuing its support for the nationwide event that celebrates history, culture, and the local community. The festival, marking its 10th year, offers people the chance to explore traditionally private spaces, learn about historical traditions, and hear captivating stories. Adam Architecture, based in Hyde Street, has been a part of the festival since 2016, hosting an architectural walking tour of Winchester and opening its studio to the public. These short, insightful architectural masterclasses have captured the curiosity of both local residents and visitors, eager to learn more about Winchester's rich built heritage. This year, the firm is partnering with community group Hyde 900 to offer a walking tour of the Hyde area of Winchester. The tour will provide insights into the history of the area, including the remnants of Hyde Abbey, once the final resting place of Alfred the Great, and how the buildings were dismantled after the dissolution of the monasteries. It will also cover how the building stones have been repurposed into local buildings. The tour will offer a fresh perspective on the historic area, providing a rare opportunity to explore the history of kings, monks, and townsfolk. Participants will also get a chance to visit Adam Architecture's offices in 75 Hyde Street. Winchester Heritage Open Days will take place from September the 12th to the 21st. The festival will feature more than 190 free events, including tours, workshops, talks, and exhibitions. The festival is open to everyone, from curious first-time visitors to lifelong local historians. This year's theme is architecture. One of the biggest annual events in Winchester, the festival is supported by Winchester Business Improvement District. And the Hampshire Chronicle will also be taking part and holding an open day at its office at 5 Upper Brook Street from 10 a.m. to midday on Friday, the 12th of September. There will be a number of copies from the archives with newspapers dating back to 100 years available to look at. For more information about the festival and to plan a visit, go to the Winchester Heritage Open Days website. What's interesting about that is the time when we make this recording.
And in fact, just to add to that, Andrew, the open day at the Chronicle offices, where we are on the second floor, if you can manage two flights of stairs, then this room that we record from will also be open, so people will be able to see what we do and how we operate, and our chairman, John Richards, will be here to host people visiting. 10 o'clock, between 10 and 12, on Friday the 12th of September.
Well, and this article headed, No Plans for Asylum Usage. The Ministry of Defence has denied a soon-to-be-redundant Sir John Moore Barracks might be used to house asylum seekers. The army base at Littleton on the edge of Winchester is due to be vacated next year. Speculation on social media has suggested the 1980s base could be used to accommodate immigrants coming to the UK. But an MOD spokesperson denied the idea. He said there are no plans for Sir John Moore Barracks to house asylum seekers. The site is proposed to be allocated within Winchester City Council's draft local plan to deliver significant residential-led development of between 750 and 1,000 new homes. Winchester City Council approved the master plan for the site at a cabinet meeting in February. The Defence Infrastructure Organisation, DIO, master plan proposes turning the barracks into a mixed-use development with up to 1,000 homes and a park and ride. Any development will be controversial. Hampshire Wildlife Trust is concerned about the threat to the chalk grassland. The site has been in military control since World War II and has never been intensively farmed. The fourth and final stage of the four-stage programme of public engagement will see the final master plan and outline planning application proposals shared with the public. And there's a photograph of a rather leafy St John Moore Barracks in Winchester.
Celebration day for the Oryx back from the brink. Marwell Zoo has celebrated the first international scimitar-horned Oryx Day, highlighting the success in saving the species from extinction. The Awareness Day on Saturday, August the 16th, was chosen by the public to honour the efforts of conservation organisations like Marwell Wildlife in rescuing the species from the brink of extinction. The scimitar-horned oryx, an antelope species with a distinctive curved horns, has been the focus of Marwell since the zoo's opening in 1972. The species, once indigenous to North Africa, became extinct in the wild by the 1990s. This was due to overhunting, competition with livestock and droughts. However, thanks to Marwell and their global partners, the species was reintroduced into the wild, leading to a change in their conservation status from extinct in the wild to endangered. Dr. Tanya Gilbert, head of conservation science at Marwell Wildlife, said, "When we were asked to choose an animal for its own awareness day, it was obvious to us to put forward the scimitar-horned oryx. This animal was extinct across the former range and now is back in the wild. It is the perfect example of what can be achieved when we all work together to save a species. The scimitar-horned oryx was chosen over other species such as the Andean bear, lungfish and Somali wild ass, and won the final against harvest mice." Sophie Whitemore, Marwell Wildlife zoologist and international stud bookkeeper for the species, said, "We are so pleased that the scimitar-horned oryx will be recognised by its own international day. Not only will this bring more attention to the threatened antelope species, but it will also act as an emblem for other Saharan species and showcase the important role zoos have in bringing species back from the brink of extinction. It is our hope that by raising awareness for the scimitar horned oryx and its story, we're demonstrating the real difference that zoo and aquarium-driven conservation makes. And there is a lovely picture of four very elegant antelopes with their lovely curved horns. And they've got very calm faces with lovely dark nose and a white face.
'91 in line for an award. A beauty salon is delighted to be in the running for a prestigious award. 91 Health and Beauty, located in Oliver's Battery, Winchester, has been nominated by customers and Hampshire Chronicle readers for the Hampshire Chronicle and Romsey Advertisers Beauty Salon of the Year Award. Founder of 91, Jess Hum, said, 91 is a health and beauty business located in Oliver's Battery in Winchester. We are home to over 14 independent professionals who specialise in a variety of different treatments and services, ranging from manicures and professional massage to expert facials and laser hair removal. She added, we pride ourselves in being a really welcoming and friendly environment with client care and treatment results at the forefront of all our services. It's a real pleasure to be shortlisted as Beauty Salon of the Year, although we really see ourselves as much more than just a beauty salon. We value our clients so much and strive for 91 to not only be a wonderful place to visit, but also an amazing place for our professionals to work from. The public now has the chance to vote for their favourite salon from the finalists, which include Arlesford Beauty, Arcana Hair and Beauty, Caller Beauty, Essential Beauty and Aesthetics, and 91. To cast a vote, readers need to obtain a copy of the Hampshire Chronicle or Romsey Advertiser from Thursday, August the 14th, filling in the voting coupon, and send it to the provided address. The deadline for voting is September the 1st, 2025, with only one vote per person permitted. Full terms and conditions for the competition can be found at newsquest.co.uk/prize-competition-rules.
Donor helps buy 999 vehicle. The Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance has a new emergency vehicle. The Volvo XC90 was purchased thanks to a £38,265 donation from the Help Appeal. It carries life-saving equipment, including blood products, defibrillators and life support machines. The car has been specially converted with a blue light fit-out, allowing doctors and paramedics on board to provide critical care swiftly and safely. Of the 2,544 missions in 2024, 1,346, 53%, were carried out by car. Since the first vehicle became operational in 2017, the charity has responded to more than 7,500 emergencies by car. Robert Bertram, chief executive of the Help Appeal, said, by funding both critical care cars and hospital helipads, we're proud to support air ambulances. And there's a lovely photograph of Chris Tate, Simon Jones and Pat Andrews. I'm not quite sure their connection, but they have the nicest, happiest, smiling faces and very happy with their new Volvo.
Project to find young ecologists. Winchester Science Centre is training the next generation of ecologists and scientists with a new project. The Conservation with Children project, led by Wonder Seekers, the charity which manages the centre, aims to explore and protect chalk grassland habitats which have been designated as a site of importance for nature conservation. Andy Keenan, head of Equity, Community Engagement and Outreach for Wonder Seekers, said, we have taken a group of children we have been working with for a few years on different projects and brought them to learn from ecologists, real ecology and real skills, and hopefully develop their love and connection to nature. Even if they don't go on to become ecologists and scientists, everyone needs to care about the world around us, no matter what role they go on to take. We often talk about art being something you take with you for the rest of your life, even if you don't become an artist. We don't do that with science, and we think it's really important that science skills are not just for becoming a scientist. Nature skills are not just for becoming an ecologist, and the skills enable people to make the difference. So this is an opportunity for us to allow children to take action, see the difference that they make, and hopefully then amplify that message as they go forward. The project, which started in June, will continue until September. See the children working with ecologists from John's Associates to learn more about the environment around them by conducting biodiversity surveys, such as tracking dormice, identifying rare plants, and monitoring wildlife in night cameras. The children also get to speak with guest ecologists from across the district as well. Tessa Pepler, one of the ecologists from John's Associates, says, "I think once people can see how exciting it is firsthand to find dormice footprints and hopefully find them on the cameras, the children will immediately feel an ownership of dormice and the affinity, so hopefully they will be more aware of these lovely species." Talking about the project, Bella Smith 13 from Gosport said, "It's really fun. I really like it. We learn so much, and I'm really enjoying the tree project because I really like the trees, and I think the dormice are really cool as well. To see evidence that they are around is really exciting." Avia Bidmead, 11, from the New Forest said, "I'm really enjoying the project so far. The diversity of everything around us here is great. I live in the New Forest, and it's really cool seeing all the things around us. I think my favourite part of the project was what we were trying to catch bugs, and we caught a grasshopper." And there are a number of lovely pictures of the children, a couple of them standing there with their binoculars, and there's a group of them looking for dormice prints. They must be really tiny. And there's another couple of pictures with them all listening to talks or doing projects.
Cottage and gardens on top of the world. An 18th century cottage and its gardens have been ranked among the top 10% of attractions across the world. Horton Lodge Gardens has been awarded the TripAdvisor's Traveller's Choice Award for 2025. This accolade recognises the attraction as one of the top 10% globally and is based on reviews and opinions from millions of travellers worldwide. It reflects the consistently outstanding service, quality and guest satisfaction experienced by visitors over the past year. The owner of Horton Lodge Gardens, Sophie Busk, said, "We are immensely proud and grateful to have received the Traveller's Choice Award for 2025. This award is a testament to the dedication of our entire team and, most importantly, to the wonderful visitors who have taken the time to share their experiences. To know that our efforts resonate so deeply with people from all over the world is a true honour. The 18th century cottage Orne and its historic gardens have long been described as a hidden Hampshire gem and the jewel of the Test Valley. The property, looked after by the Busk family for generations, features mature trees, sweeping lawns, and the world record-holding espalier pear. The family offer guided tours of the Grade 2-star listed cottage. Horton Lodge Gardens remain committed to maintaining high standards as a visitor attraction, providing a personal experience for every guest. And the gardens are open daily from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. until Friday, October the 31st. Tickets can be booked, and more information can be found on the Horton Lodge website. And this is accompanied by a fantastic picture of the cottage, and I wasn't even aware of it. So it's something that looks really attractive to go and visit.
Dragon boat racing back after a decade. Dragon boat racing returned to Winchester for the first time in more than a decade and raised more than £8,000. The event, which took place on Saturday, July the 26th, saw five teams compete in the Itchen Navigation. The race was organised by Naomi House and Jack's Place, local hospices for children and young adults, and saw competitors try to achieve the fastest finish in a series of timed heats. The top teams then headed to the final race, with the winner being crowned champion. The event not only marked the return of the race to Winchester after more than 10 years, but also enjoyed by members of the community who went to watch. A fete was held alongside the race, with local businesses offering unique gifts and children enjoying the bouncy castle. Visitors could also try their hand at rowing or cool off with an ice cream. The event was sponsored by Starboard Card, an expense management service for the superyacht industry, which dressed up as pirates for the day. A spokeswoman for Starboard Card said, "We had a fantastic day on the water, with plenty of laughter, cheering and team spirit. Everyone threw themselves into the racing, and the competition was fierce in all the right ways. Great to see so many people out supporting Naomi House and Jack's Place, and a huge thanks for such a memorable event." The event helped to raise more than £8,000 for the charity, funding nearly 300 hours of expert nursing care. Gemma Rolfe, events executive at Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "It was exciting to bring dragon boat racing to Winchester. Jack's Place is the only hospice for young adults in the south of England. And there is a photograph of these boats, which, in case you haven't seen them, are like very long canoes, but the front has a long upturned prow with a dragon on it. And at least six people rowing, but I can't quite see how many there are. But great fun."
Talk on little-known war history draws packed audience. A talk exploring the little-known wartime history drew packed audiences as part of the Mayor of Winchester's charity's events calendar. The event at Abbey House on Friday, August the 8th, was presented by former Mayor Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith and titled "The French Prisoners of Alresford and the Hampshire Parole Towns." The talk was of the second series in the Mayor of Winchester's Councillor Sudhakar Achwal Charities Events calendar. Councillor Gordon-Smith outlined how the parole system operated during the Napoleonic Wars. Sorry about that. Looking at the experiences of paroled officers whose graves can be found in Alresford and contrasting the much harsher conditions experienced by lower-ranking prisoners. The evening began with a musical tribute from French singer Muriel, who performed a medley of songs made popular by artists such as Charles Trenet and Edith Piaf. Proceeds from the event will support Trinity Winchester, Home Start Winchester and Winchester Action on Climate Crisis. And there's a picture of the French singer Muriel with the Mayor of Winchester.
Pouring heart and soul into kindness of a meal. A homemade meal brought together volunteers, staff and residents in a simple act of kindness and community. The lunch, served on Friday, August the 8th, at the Winchester Beacon Homelessness Charity in Jury Street, was prepared and served by staff from M Group Highways. They spent the morning chopping, stirring and baking an American-themed menu of chowder, followed by cake and custard. Nikki Roberts, the volunteer's administrator at the Winchester Beacon, said, "We really value the partnership that we've built with M Group Highways over the recent years. They have taken time to understand our mission and values and are committed to supporting us in ways that really add value. It was great to see volunteers, staff and residents come together to enjoy a home-cooked meal." The lunch was served to volunteers, current residents, and those who have recently moved into their own accommodation as a way to thank them for their support and to help build a sense of community. M Group Highways visit was part of its ongoing support for the Winchester Beacon, and the company plans to return in September and October to prepare two more meals. Our volunteers poured their heart and soul into the cooking and received some lovely feedback. Most importantly, everyone involved had a chance to relax and socialize in a comfortable environment. Homelessness is a complex issue, but initiatives like this can help break down social barriers and forge vital connections. The Winchester Beacon is encouraging other local businesses to get involved and to help make a difference through similar partnerships. The charity is hosting a business networking event in September and is inviting businesses to contact Lucy at winchesterbeacon.org.uk for more information. And this is accompanied by a couple of photographs. One of the staff from M Group Highways in the kitchen there preparing the meal. And then a group of the volunteers and residents sitting at the table as they finish off their lunch, all smiling and looking extremely happy.
A kind of magic as Venue Rocked. Opportunities for young people to take to the stage in well-known productions might be few and far between, but Fareham Live is one place where performance aspirations can become reality. Joanna Bennington, the creative learning manager at this wonderful theatre, has put together a production of We Will Rock You with a cast of children from the Fareham area, some of whom are on the stage for the very first time. Even more impressive is the timescale involved. The children only came together less than a week ago. Although the casting was complete and the scripts disseminated earlier in the summer, there is a huge difference between learning lines and performing with others. The result that has been achieved in such a short space of time is impressive, to say the least. Hundreds of people filled Fareham Live on Saturday evening to see the culmination of all the hard work. The whole cast, led by Lewis Barber and Isabel Insull, delivered performances with passion and enthusiasm. The latter showed a real knack for delivering witty one-liners with expert timing. The fun these young actors were having was palpable. Although there was certainly room for further development, every person on stage gave 100% and showed that music and performing should be primarily about enjoyment. The whole cast encouraged the audience to really get involved, singing and clapping in all the right places. From the opening notes of Radio Gaga to the final number of Bohemian Rhapsody, it was certainly an evening of enjoyment. Credit and praise should be heaped onto the creative team that put the show together. Particularly credit goes to the choreographer, Ella Turner. To be able to guide and teach such a large ensemble of children to work and move together for this production is certainly no small task, especially in such a short amount of time. Congratulations to everyone involved, both on stage and behind the scenes. And there are a lot of photographs of the various young performers, but of all ages, some a little older, but some really small. There's about 50 here in their Fareham Live t-shirts with We Will Rock You on the front, and they obviously did.
Thank you. That concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And thanks, of course, to our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
Norma York.
Goodbye.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye, and do have an enjoyable week. And when you've finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.